Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Winter weather arrived a little bit early this year, but there is still time to get your yard and garden in shape for the cold months ahead. And to help us get our to-do list put together, Aaron Style is here, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
And Richard Giron is also here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And do either one of you have a pickaxe I can borrow to plant my bulbs with?
I don't think the ground's quite froze yet.
I'm using that this weekend myself, so.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So
Just got your bulbs in, right?
Yes, I did this week.
Nice. Nicely done. I've got 3 inches of snow on the ground right now and my bulbs in the mudroom, but maybe it will melt and I'll have another shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's talk about things that we do need to do this time of year. And actually, I want to start with the things we don't need to do this time of year, because I think that list is changing a little bit over time. A lot of people are having discussions online about, do we rake our leaves? Do we not rake our leaves? So let's talk about some of the things that we get to let go that maybe we used to do.
Well, I think one of the big ones is, and there's a lot of discussion, and the true good place to be is probably somewhere in the middle, but you don't have to clear cut your perennial border this time of year. I think one of the things that even 15 years ago, you were made to feel really guilty if you did not have this like clean, tidy slate before the snow hit the ground in the fall. And while there are some instances where plants should be cut back in the fall, maybe because they get really seedy or maybe because there's some disease or pest issue that can overwinter on that stuff, many of the things in our garden can stay over the winter. The plants usually overwinter better with that extra protection. There's more interesting things to look at in the gardens. If you leave some of those flower heads that may have some seed in it, like the cone flower for the goldfinches and other animals and insects. And eventually, I think it's a little bit less work. It might be about the same, but I feel like I'm spreading it out between the seasons. So
all right.
That part helps. But I really
think... And it makes the yard not look quite so naked and barren in the winter months.
Yes, and that to me is one of the greatest benefits, leaving things like ornamental grasses, ornamental seed heads, and some of those things can just really keep it from being just a big flat, barren, snow-covered landscape for 3 months.
And it's nice for wildlife as
well. It is nice for wildlife. And so that part is great, too. I think the other part is that many plants do overwinter better when they, some plants like hosta, they're fine if you cut back the foliage in the fall. But other things like Corabel, for example, having that little extra layer of leaves on there that stays there through the winter can help hold other leaves in place, help hold some insulating snow, and help that plant overwinter better.
All right. And where do the two of you come down on raking leaves?
I think both of us think you do need to rake leaves, especially in the lawn. I don't know. What do you think, Richard?
It all depends upon the quantity. The key there is if you have large trees, you're going to have a large quantity of leaves covering the ground. And if they stay there, they may smother the grass. So they'll probably have to be raked up. If you have a much smaller quantity, you can just run over the area with a mulching lawnmower. You may have to do it two or three times, but if you do, those small amounts you chop into tiny bits, and they'll filter down into the grass and be just fine, but you can't leave the grass covered with leaves. That could be dangerous.
All right. Let's talk about another don't, and then we'll move on to some do's. Don't prune your woody plants.
Yeah, this pruning woody plants in the late dormant season is the best time frame for that, which for us is late February through March. This time of year, especially several weeks earlier than today, if you're pruning this time of year, one of the responses in a plant is to start regrowing. And if you're promoting that this time of year, it overwinters very poorly. And so hold off on the pruning. You could probably do it as early as December if you really wanted to, but you don't need to do it this time of year. And what I find is that a lot of gardeners are really tempted to do it this time of year because you're out there cleaning up the vegetable garden. You're out there cleaning up other things. And then your mind instantly goes to, well, I'll just tidy up this woody shrub while I'm at it. And it really isn't good for the plant's health to put it under that kind of stress, that pruning stress right before winter.
All right. And speaking of, I mean, it's really cold here.
It
so
is
I'm
so
having
cold.
A hard time getting over that. Richard, you were talking about covering the strawberries, letting them harden off. Have they hardened?
I would say they have.
Okay.
and so this weekend would be fine, or next week would be fine. The temperatures haven't been so cold as to harm them, but it does harden them off. So they're basically ready to go. So if you have some straw, that's the best material. Cover them with 4 to 5 inches of straw, and they should be fine until next spring.
Okay, great. So you get the strawberries taken care of, but it's also time to clean up the vegetable garden, right?
Yeah, the vegetable garden is one of those places where that clean slate at the end of the season is a good thing. There are a lot of pest and disease challenges in growing vegetables, and if we can remove those dead tomato plants and those brown squash vines, we can hopefully remove some of the material that some of those pests and diseases may overwinter on. And so the vegetable garden is a very important spot to get nice and clean this time of year.
All right. What other things should we be thinking about right now? Because, you know, again, it got really cold, which makes us
yeah.
think about protecting our plants
right.
for the winter.
Right. You know, you can still plant bulbs, and as long as you can get a shovel in the ground, you can still
right.
plant bulbs. So if you have them, get them in the ground as soon as you can.
They're right by my door.
Yeah.
They taunt me every time I go in. I'm like, oh, why didn't I do that last week?
Oh, I know. It's easy to hindsight 2020, right? But it is fine. I mean, I've known folks who have planted bulbs as late as the first week in December, and they're just fine. As long as you can get a shovel on ground, you can do it. So that's still a good thing. The other thing I would look at this time of year is to start planning out protection of woody trees and shrubs, wrapping young trees to prevent damage from rabbit chewing, caging shrubs that get a lot of damage from rodents or rabbits over the winter. So what I mean by caging is surrounding them with a 24 or 36 inch tall chicken wire to help keep them off of the plants, because in the middle of winter, those bunnies get real hungry and desperate, and they can cause a lot of damage to woody plants.
All right. And so when you protect them, you also need to think about what could be coming our way this winter. So
right.
give us some rules of thumb to make sure they're actually protected, not just the first 6 inches.
Right,
something like
right.
that.
You do want to make sure that if you wrap a tree, you go up at least 3 feet. Remember that we could have a significant snowpack, and a bunny can stand on top of that snowpack. So making sure that you're wrapping up at least 3 feet. At Ryman Gardens, we cage or surround all of our woody shrubs that are prone to rabbit damage with at least 36-inch tall chicken wire, because they can hop over it if there's a significant amount of snow on the ground. And so that's really important. If you have a lot of deer pressure in your yard, surrounding them with stakes or hog panel fencing can help keep them off from rutting or rubbing antlers during the early winter months, which can cause a lot of damage to a young tree as well.
All right, so it may feel like overkill right now, but you're probably not going to regret it.
No, usually you don't. And at the very minimum, wrapping young trees that are less than 5 years in your garden, at least with a tree wrap, with a like one of those plastic tubes, is a real simple thing. You can do it in 10 seconds. You walk out, you snap it around the base of the tree, making sure not to scratch up the bark. And then in come late March, early April, pull it off. You can save a lot of trees that way.
If you have things other than spring bulbs that you haven't planted, is there still time to plant trees or shrubs?
This is a rough. So most woody plants would probably be okay. You make sure you water them in when you plant them. Many perennials, this is going to be a really tough time because they're not going to have any time to establish. And in those cases, especially if you have quite a bit or something that you're really worried about overwintering, it may be better to overwinter it in what I'll call a nursery bed. This is an area that a protected area in your yard that you dig down, you set the pot and all into the ground, you backfill, you surround it with a chicken wire and put in a couple feet of straw. You can do that. I'd probably wait a little bit. You don't got to do it before the ground freezes, of course, but you want it to be good and dormant. But when you do finally put these things in a nursery bed, and then come spring, you can pull them out and plant them as you normally would.
All right. And here's something that you put on your list that I hadn't thought about: collecting seed.
Yeah, if you want to collect seed, you can do that. Actually, a couple of weeks ago probably would have been better for some of that. There are some perennials and annuals that are really easy to grow from seed that you can collect seed from. The one that comes to mind right off the top of hand, marigolds and zinnias. Those dried seed heads can be plucked off and cleaned this time of year and stored, and you can use them next spring to grow new marigolds and zinnias.
All right, and collecting seeds for prairie grasses and things like that, that's something you can probably still do.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes it's easiest for those kinds of plants to collect and broadcast right now. Let Mother Nature do the cold treatment, and then they'll be ready to go first thing in the spring.
All right, now here's something that you put on your list that... is a new idea to me. Start a leaf mold pile.
Yeah, leaf mold pile.
What? So why?
The British love leaf mold. And I don't know that that's as big of a thing for us here. Leaf mold is essentially partially or almost fully decomposted leaves. So you can usually get it in about 6 or so months. It's a wonderful top dressing for perennial borders. You can kind of use it like a mulch slash soil amendment. And when you collect leaves in the fall, all you have to do is collect them, however you're going to collect them, whether you're raking, whether you're using your mower and bagging, whatever it is. If you use your mower and bag, you'll get leaf mold a lot faster because you're chopping them up at the same time. Put it in a pile within, you know, it'll sit over winter. Depending on how the weather goes and how big your pile is, you could have something that is essentially leaf mold where it looks about halfway between compost and what you started with, that you can spread in your garden as a mulch and as an additive to the soil.
All right. And this is beneficial, a better choice than some other things? Sell me on this.
It's a different choice than some other things. I don't know that it's, you know, it's a lot like a mulch. It's great in perennial borders. It is, especially if you're dealing with some challenging soil conditions, it's adding organic matter to the soil that becomes more readily available and valuable to the soil structure than mulch does more
All
quickly.
Right.
So it's something to experiment with.
All right. And you can pretend you're the gardener at Downton Abbey.
Exactly.
All right. Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They are here to answer your questions. So give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you are welcome to join our conversation with your questions about the plants and trees in your life. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Style, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. We'll start with this question from Mike in Milo. He says, I have a windbreak of 13 arborvitae near a ditch and gravel road whose inner needles are browning and dropping. All trees are showing the same issue. Okay, what could be causing this?
Actually, it's perfectly normal.
Yay!
It is seasonal needle loss. So in the fall, your trees like your maples and oaks, they lose everything. The evergreens like your pine, spruce, and fern arborvitae, they also lose some of their foliage, but only a portion. So it's like maybe a third or fourth, and it's always the oldest growth. And so it turns brown and falls off perfectly normal.
All right, and here's a question from Krista. Could I ask you if anything needs to be done to knock out roses over the winter? I love my knockout roses, and I want them to come back next year.
Yeah, knockout is a almost fully hardy rose for most of Iowa. So if we have a really harsh winter, you're probably going to see a lot of dieback, but it typically is grown on its own roots, so it will come back from the roots without a lot of issue. If you're worried about winter dieback, especially if you're in the northern half of the state, you can put several feet of straw around the plant, and that will help kind of insulate it. You'll still see some little bit of dieback on the tips of the branches, but you just prune that off when the new growth starts in the spring.
All right, let's go now to the phones. April is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, April.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I'm getting a late start. We had a change in our landscaping and our sidewalk. And we kind of made a flower bed larger. So now I have half of a bed that is ready to plant and the other half still has grass, can I plant inside of the grass and deal with it later, or do I need to till the whole area now?
I think I would try to do the whole area now. I think that'd be easier in the long run. So you could possibly just remove the sod, either with a sod cutter or some other tool, and then till the whole thing up.
Yeah. Okay. You could also spend this time, if it's still green, you can use a herbicide to kill it back, or you can spend this winter smothering it. So you can put down a couple layers of cardboard, several layers of newspaper, cover it with mulch, let it sit all winter, and first part of spring, try to smother out that grass. I think both of us agree that you'll want to remove the turf, because if you plant through that turf, you're going to be battling weeds the rest of the time that you have that. You want to start with as little of that grass, well, none of that grass, if possible, to help with weeds in the future.
Okay, and then would that herbicide affect the bulbs if I plant the bulbs and
the herbicide will only affect green tissue. So if there's nothing growing from the bulb above ground, then it should not impact those plants.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And next up, let's go to Nick in West Des Moines. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Charity. How are you doing today?
Good. What's your question?
My question is late fall yard fertilizer. I usually wait until around Thanksgiving to apply. I'm wondering with the weather conditions if it wouldn't be maybe do it now. What's your thought?
If you have time, I would do it this weekend. If you have time, this would be great because the grass has stopped growing as far as the foliage. Okay. The roots are still growing. The plant itself is not totally dormant. So if you apply fertilizer at this point, the plants will absorb it, but it doesn't immediately go into foliage. The plant will store up some of that for next spring. Some of that goes into root growth, which is exactly what you want.
Okay.
All
sounds
right.
Good. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Nick. 866-780-9100 is the number. Next up, Susan in Riverside. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. I have 40 King Alfred daffodil bulbs that probably aren't going to get planted, and I'd like to try to force them in small pots. How long do they need to be chilled before I take them out and have them start growing? And what other bulbs need to be chilled before they're forced?
Any of the spring flowering bulbs like tulips, daffodils, crocuses, hyacinths, they need to be chilled, and typically for 12 to 16 weeks. So ideally, you go ahead and pot them up, and if you have like a 6-inch diameter pot, you could probably put 5 or 6 of these daffodil bulbs in that, put them real close together, pot them up, basically water them in nicely, and then they need to go into a cold place. You could put them in the refrigerator. If you have a second refrigerator where the temperature is just above freezing, that is ideal. You could put them in a trench in the ground outdoors and then cover them with straw, but the temperature needs to be just above freezing and for basically 12 to 16 weeks. That's when the actual flower is initiated during that cold period.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, and let's do a couple email questions here. This one's from Jenny in Cedar Rapids. I seeded a brand new lawn this year and the grass grew well. However, there are several sections of the lawn that have these awful sand burr plants. Is there something I can put down to get rid of them without hurting the grass? So far, I've been digging them up, which is time-consuming, difficult, and somewhat painful.
Yes, sand burrs can be. I believe sand burr is an annual grass, like crabgrass, so it will die in the fall. The key there, I think, is getting a very thick stand of grass so that the seeds, the burrs, can't germinate next spring. So anything that you can do to promote vigor, like fertilizing maybe this fall, that type of thing, will eventually get rid of the sand burrs.
All right. Here's a question from Matt in Ankeny. Can I still divide and transplant phlox, and what's the best method?
You could. I would probably wait till spring if I could. I like to do most of my divisions in the spring just as the plants are coming up out of the ground. Phlox is a pretty hardy plant, perfectly winter hardy. if you wanted to do that, you would do it just as you would in the spring. You dig up the whole clump, divide it into your several pieces, plant it as soon as you can back into the ground, water it in, and this late in the season, it may benefit from a little bit of protection, like a little layer of straw or something like that to help insulate it through the winter months. I would wait until spring if I could to do this work.
All right. Here's another. We're almost out of time question from Lisa. She says, I just received a few bare root peonies. Is it too late to plant them? How should I protect and care for them during the winter?
I would definitely go ahead and plant those. It's a little bit late. And then water them in nicely. And then maybe a week or two later, cover them with several inches of straw so they have some winter protection. So that will prevent the ground from freezing as quickly as it would otherwise. And they need some time to kind of reestablish themselves. Hopefully they'll be okay.
All right. Our email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. With me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. Next up, John in Olwine. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I see this sumac. Growing in road ditches, and it's beautiful this time of year. I was wondering if there's a way to get that and plant it in areas, whether it be by seed or root or what.
Well, you can actually buy some of those types in garden centers. Usually they have more ornamental characteristics. As far as what you see in the roadside, I think it's possible to dig them up. I would do so probably in early spring before they start to leaf out. Now, be aware that this plant suckers, which means that it sends up shoots from its roots, and these shoots can appear several feet away from the parent plant, which can be annoying. It can be. So be aware of that. But otherwise, it's a pretty tough plant. But if you're going to try to establish some of that, you can maybe dig up some of these sprouts along the periphery in early spring.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, John. And they are awfully pretty in
the
fall.
They are.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, next up, Greg in Burt. Hello, Greg.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I would like to plant some butternut trees on my property, and I know that a few years ago most of the native ones died. I wondered if there is a certain cultivar that I should look at or if there's something I can do to have better survivability.
I don't know that any variety or cultivar is resistant to that disease, so I think it's kind of you plan and hope for the best.
Okay. I was hoping for something more, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't think they've developed any varieties that are disease resistant at this point.
Yeah, it's not a real cash crop for most people to spend a lot of time on, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Greg. 866-780-9100. Doug is next in Mount Vernon. Hi, Doug.
Hello. We have a giant Norwegian spruce tree. I just measured it. It's 70 inches circumference around the trunk with a couple of limbs that are 2 feet in diameter. Up about 15 feet is a 10-inch by maybe 30-foot limb extending out that's fallen onto a lower branch, but it's leaving a socket in the trunk. The socket looks like you could fit a basketball in that space, almost if I take the limb completely off. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of big. I'm wondering what I could do with that. Should I paint it? It's a special tree. It's the best tree on the property. I really want to take care of it.
So the branch is already gone, or it broke off recently?
It broke off about 3 weeks ago, but it's fallen down on another branch, so it's not completely out of the socket. It's just lower part of that.
Okay.
That limb that's attached to the tree is still there. I would cut the lower limb off, and then I'm sure it'll just drop. But I'm wondering what to do with that socket at this time of the year.
Yeah, there's...
You said paint it?
No, I would not paint it. Usually those pruning paints or tars, often can actually cause more damage than harm because they hold in a lot of moisture, which can promote more decay. Your goal is to get that break cleaned up as much as possible so that that tree can work to seal off that damage as quickly as possible. It will take some time on a wound that big. But there's no special paints. There's no special tars. There's no special product to put on that. The tree can do it as best as the tree can do it. There's nothing we can do to help it any more than that.
Okay, it's a giant tree.
It does sound beautiful, Doug.
The good news is that most trees do a really good job of this. So it's not a lost cause by any stretch.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Mike in Waterloo. Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question? And please turn down your radio, Mike.
It's not up at all.
Okay.
Okay. Two questions. My front yard faces east, and the steeper slope is on the north side, kind of divided by a sidewalk. But the entire front yard is just absolutely miserable to walk on. You can put your heel down at one level and your toes go down 3 inches. It's like trying to walk on 5-inch boulders. And can I do something with the existing yard and then smooth it, like with a skid loader or something, to try and get it normal? I'm going to put a retaining wall in and fill that up to kind of stop the water running down the hill. But what can I do?
So your concern is that it's bumpy or rough, the actual lawn, or some other concern?
No, it's the yard itself. It's just terrible to walk on.
Okay.
Well, you could fall down.
Right. Many older lawns tend to be rather bumpy or rough. There's a couple of things that you possibly could do to make it better. One is to core aerate the yard or lawn, and you can do that in spring or fall, and where you pull out plugs of soil. And right. If you do that in spring and fall, do it for a year or two. Hopefully that would tend to level out the area. So that's one possibility. But it takes time. It does take time. Another possibility would be to use a power rake where the tines kind of go into the soil. And it's basically used to pull out thatch. But in this case, it would also tend to kind of break up some of these bumps in the yard. So you could do that too. Both measures are okay for the yard. So either maybe core aerate or power rake the yard. But it's going to take some time to eventually get it a little bit smoother so it's less rough.
Okay. The other question, I was planning on getting like 15 tons of black dirt delivered and then use my skid loader to lay that dirt down, and it'll be kind of finely ground, I guess is what you'd say. But, you know, I'd probably put like 4 to 5 inches down on the entire yard. And I have an oak tree. The circumference at the base is probably 12 feet. And then I have two maple trees that are just, no, like 24 inches in diameter. Could I put, or should I put, a little 1 foot high rock wall around those trees and fill that with rock and then keep the dirt away from the base of the tree?
Well, as far as that is concerned, oak trees, and all trees actually have a very shallow root system. Most of the roots are located.
Some of those roots are actually a couple of them are up out of the ground.
Right, right.
You know, maybe by a couple inches.
Right, but the vast majority of the roots are located in the upper 18 inches of soil. They're located there because that's where most of the nutrients are, but they also need to breathe, and so you really can't bring in additional soil, or shouldn't bring in additional soil and place that around most trees, especially oak trees, because they are very intolerant of that. And so if you were to do that, we would typically say you have to stay beyond the canopy of the tree, not just the trunk, but the canopy of the tree, that you really shouldn't bring in soil in that entire area, because if you do, let's say you bring in like 4 or 5 inches, you may bury some of the roots so deeply that they suffocate and die, and that could cause the tree to eventually decline and die itself.
All right, Mike, good luck with that. It sounds like a tricky situation. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment, and you can join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. With me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast, Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. The phone number to call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Art is up next on the line in early. Hi, Art.
Hi, good morning. Quick question. We bought some bulbs that we were going to plant, and unfortunately they've started to sprout. Can we still plant them, or do we have to replace them?
Plant them as soon as possible. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine, too. Just get them in the ground.
All right, get out the pickaxe and make it happen, Art.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. Next up,
you're not making this sound easy,
no,
Charity.
I'm just dreading it myself. All right, Matthew's on the line next. I know it'll all be wet and smushy by Sunday. We'll have mud problems by then. Matthew's on the line in Coralville. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Charity. I have a question about clay in my backyard. We have had some construction gone on, and some of the clay that was part of a support mechanism beside the house has been brought out and spread on top of our grass area on the yard, and it's almost entirely covered in the backyard, which is very heavily sloped. I'm wondering whether there is a cover crop that I can yet plant into the clay that might hold the soils, or if I'm up to just putting straw down for covering and holding it against erosion for the winter.
I think straw would be your best bet. It is so late in the year that I don't think you're going to get much in the way of growth on that this fall, so I would use some straw.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Randy in Iowa County. Hi, Randy.
Hi there. I've got an older oak tree in the yard that I think has either oak wilt or oak blight. It's gotten worse in the last couple of years. When we take that tree down, should we dispose of all the material so none of it spread to adjacent trees?
Well, I think what you can probably do, it's hard to say exactly why. Now, oak wilt, typically, if it's a red oak or pin oak, those trees typically die within a matter of months. If it's a white oak or bur oak, the tree may decline much more slowly. Bur oak blight is something that occurs on just basically the bur oaks, and the trees may slowly decline on that. As far as taking it down, if you chip it up nicely, I think you can use it in other areas in the yard. But it should be chipped up very nicely.
All right, Randy, thanks for your call. Next up, Rex in Mason City. Hi, Rex.
Hey, thanks, Charity. I'm looking for the best time to cut back hydrangea and how much or how low to cut it back.
What type of hydrangea do you have?
I don't know. It grows about 30 inches tall.
Okay. Does it have white flowers? And are they more of like a ball shape, or are they more kind of elongated cone shaped?
No, it's a ball.
Okay. So that's likely what I'll call the Annabelle type hydrangea, or like the smooth hydrangea. The smooth hydrangea. You can cut that back as soon as it browns. You can also let it stand and enjoy the kind of dead flowers until they break apart through the winter and remove what's left in the spring before the growth starts.
Great. So how low do you cut it back all just the way to the ground?
Yeah, or? Within a couple inches of the ground. Certainly lower than 6 inches, but you don't have to get right on top of the ground either.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Rex. Next up, Dustin in Manson. Hi, Dustin.
Hi. I had a question on transplanting asparagus. When and how should you do that?
Well, actually, it's very difficult to do. If it's established, let's say it's been in the ground for at least 3 or 4 years, it's basically impossible to do that.
Okay.
If it were like a year or two, possible. But the plants become so large as far as the crown beneath the ground that it's so badly damaged if you try to dig it up that it never fully recovers. So usually it's not worth the effort. It's usually best just to buy some new ones.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And we'll do a few email questions here. This one's from Chris in Rock Island. I've got two fire bushes that I'd like to cut back to the ground. I've read that to trim them for shape, I should do that in the winter. But if I'm cutting them all the way back to stimulate new growth, I should do that in the late winter or early spring. What's the difference?
I would prefer to prune those back in, let's say, March, early April. And I wouldn't cut them back to the ground. Now, some shrubs tolerate that pretty well, but the burning bush typically does not so well. So I would be inclined to maybe cut it back by maybe 25%, maybe 33%, but not entirely. But they could do that every year and eventually kind of reduce the size, but I wouldn't cut it back to the ground.
Okay. And whatever you're doing late winter, early spring, it sounds like.
Would be a better time, yes.
All right. This one's from Laura. We have an older hydrangea tree with lots of faded blooms. In years past, I have pruned it back to the first bud before the first snow. I did this to prevent branch break from the heavy snow on the blooms. I know you just mentioned not pruning woody plants this time of year. Ideally, I'd like to keep the blooms through the winter, but the heavy wet snow has other ideas. What are your thoughts?
So usually deadheading or removing the flowers isn't an issue. That kind of fits into a different category than pruning. Typically, if it's dead, you can remove it any time of the year, and certainly that flower cluster is dead or nearly so. So when you deadhead, it does not promote the same kind of regrowth that pruning further back into the plant would. So certainly can cut those off this time of year. It would be better than seeing breakage because of wet, heavy snow. And, you know, they dry really well, too. So if you want to use them indoors for projects or decoration, sometimes that works out really nicely, too. And replacing them every year is kind of nice, too, because they get kind of brittle and dusty over time inside.
All right. Here's a question from Deborah. Is it too late to plant allium bulbs?
No. Again, do it as soon as you can.
All right. See, I didn't make the pickaxe joke.
But then you did.
No, I just admire my restraint. All right. Ann's on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
So I was landscaping last spring and found a sprouting acorn. So my grandkids and I put it in water until the roots were fuller, and then we used potting soil and put it in pot. It's done great. It's about 10 to 12 inches tall and has about 4 full leaves on it. Okay. I'm just wondering what we should do to over the winter to ensure that it lives so we can plant it in the spring.
Okay. Is it indoors or outdoors?
Indoors.
Okay. What I would do is actually bring it outdoors this weekend and let it basically go through dormancy. And what I would do is actually, again, I would dig a hole in the ground. Set the pot in the ground as if planting the tree, but you're not. You're leaving it in the pot. And then place soil around the pot. And then maybe put some chicken wire fencing around it so the rabbits don't get it. And then it should overwinter, hopefully outdoors. And then next spring you can dig it up and you can plant it wherever you choose to.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Ann. Next up, we've got another caller talking about butternut trees. Harry is on the line. Hi, Harry.
Hello.
Hi, what's your experience with butternuts?
I planted 75 butternuts probably 18 years ago, and two of them survived. I'm thinking maybe they're resistant to the disease. Can I take a branch or a root or somehow cultivate that tree into another tree or more?
Well, your best option would be by taking the actual nuts and planting those. They're rather hard to bud or graft. And so I think...
What would be the process in that? That would be fine.
Okay.
They only produce nuts 2 years so far.
Okay. So you would... So you would collect the nuts as soon as they fall to the ground. You would remove the husk. And then if you have quite a few, I would put them in like a bucket of water. And those nuts that basically float, they're probably not viable because they're floating. They're probably hollow. Those that sink should be good, viable seeds. And then I would take those out, the viable ones, and I would go ahead and plant them in the fall, probably around 1 or 2 inches.
In a pot or in the ground?
I think in the ground directly, like in a nursery type of situation, where you kind of grow these outdoors for maybe a year or two. So I would basically plant them in the ground about an inch or two deep, and then I would probably cover that area with maybe some chicken wire fencing so the squirrels won't find them, dig them up and eat them, because they might, and then promptly remove that in the spring and let them come up and kind of care for them maybe a year or two in that nursery, and then dig them up in early spring before they start to leaf out and put them in their permanent location.
Awesome. One other thing I'd like to suggest, I have a lot of deer antler problems with the trees, and I find if you just find a tree that they like to rub, just leave it there and don't cut it down because it's ugly, because they'll come back to that one every year, and they'll leave a lot of the other ones alone.
All right, just sacrifice
that
one.
A decoy tree.
Yeah.
That's right. Just give up that one, and you're good to go.
Great suggestion. Thanks a lot for your call, Larry. As long as they stick to that one tree,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
All right, Joe is on the line next in Ames. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I have a couple of mature river birches in my yard that are pretty close to the property line, and my neighbor cut a number of their roots, a half a dozen or so, that were going on his property. First of all, what's the prognosis? And two, is there anything I can do but hope for the best?
You're going to have to wait and see what happens to them. One thing that you can do would be, let's say next year we have a very dry summer. With those roots being cut off, the tree may not be getting enough water. So next year, if we have a dry period, I'd be watering that tree to kind of compensate for that. And that would take off some of the stress. And hopefully, if we do that, maybe it will survive just fine.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Joe. Next, we have Dan in Van Meter. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good morning. A follow-up question to the person that called about fertilizing the lawn. Is it too late to use a weed and feed?
I would think probably not. In central Iowa, we don't have the snow cover, and the weeds themselves are not dead yet. And so if you could do it this weekend, when you put on that weed and feed, you want the foliage wet, so you want to do this in the morning with the dew on the grass. But if you can do it this weekend, early next week, you should be okay.
Terrific. I didn't want it to go to waste if it was too late to do any good. So. But I wanted to make sure I got a fertilizer down. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Dan. We've got another lawn question. This one's from Jackie in West Des Moines. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. I was just calling to see if you recommend aerating your yards. Our yard is about 6 years old. And also, how tall do you recommend to leave the grass going into winter?
As far as the mowing height, I would say 2.5 inches would be great. As far as aeration... we basically aerate if we think we have a very heavy clay-type soil or if we have a lot of foot traffic, which tends to compact the soil. If we have either one of those two, it's a good idea to core aerate. April is a pretty good time, I would say mid to late April for your area, and also around mid-September.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, Marty in Johnston. Hi, Marty.
Hi. I have a question about smoke bush. I have two flanking the house, and I'd like to keep them sort of short, and I'd love for them to branch out more. I trim them back every year way down, and it's almost always straight-up vertical growth. Is there any way to make them branch instead of go straight up?
Yes and no. I mean, a good way to manage smoke bush is to kind of cut them back to the ground every year. You don't get the flowers when you do that, but usually have much better looking foliage. As the plant matures and gets larger, it will get fuller and fuller when you do this work. But there's not much you can do to force it to branch when you do this kind of renewal pruning every year.
All right. Well, Marty, thanks for your call. Here's a question from Paul in Des Moines. My outdoor poinsettia was starting to redden, so I potted it and brought it in prior to the snow. What's the method for getting it to turn red in time for the holidays?
Keeping it dark from 5 p.m. until 8 a.m. each day for 6 to 8 weeks.
All right. So if you put that in a room where you never turn on the lights, you might make it.
Or you could put a box over it.
Yeah.
Or put it in a closet at 5 p.m. and take it out in the morning.
If you have a spare bedroom, that helps a lot.
Right, right. And you think there's still time to get it done?
If it's already starting to turn,
yeah,
I think there
is. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right, from Pauline in Cedar Rapids, I have a problem with creeping Charlie in my lawn and flower beds. Please advise, by the fence, would it be better to lay a landscape fabric and cover it with mulch?
I think it probably would, where it doesn't have a chance to really root. And if it starts to grow there or kind of creep in that direction, you can just kind of pull it out. But it's a pretty aggressive plant, so I think mulching would be good.
All right, here's one from Scott in Cedar Rapids. I just harvested my first crop of horseradish. How should I store it to replant after the winter?
You can store it in a refrigerator, or if you have a very, very cool location. Keep it in the dark. But at a very cool location to keep for quite some time.
All right. And from Christina in Grand Mound, I planted a lilac plant last year and it came back this year, but it felt like dumb luck. I planted four hydrangea plants and another lilac plant this year. They're all ball type hydrangea. Should I do anything to help them through this winter? It sounds like the lilac, that sounds great. But
yeah, I think, you know, normally I would say at this time of year to water when things were dry, but it hasn't been dry at all. So
yeah.
Actually, for folks who planted things earlier in the fall this year, we got really good weather for getting things established this fall. So I think apart from making sure that it's nice and healthy going into winter, there's not much more to do.
And feel optimistic.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron Stile, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Aaron Stile, Assistant Director of Ryman Gardens in Ames. And Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. We will be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have a great weekend.